Genesis in chapter 9. We read in Genesis and about the flood, and at the end of the flood, you know, everybody was destroyed. And then Noah came out, and as he came out of the ark, and it says in verse 8, chapter 8, verse 20, Noah built an altar. And then God blessed Noah, verse chapter 9, verse 1. Be fruitful and multiply, he said. I will establish my covenant with you. And what a tremendous blessing. There was a rainbow, and I will establish my covenant with you, and your children will be blessed. And then what happened? Verse 20, chapter 9, verse 20. Noah began farming. The time of trouble, the flood is over. Now, he had been preaching 120 years. Opposed, opposed, persecuted, opposed, opposed, opposed. And he stood true to the Lord. Built the ark single-handedly just with his sons, true to the Lord. But now, the Lord had blessed him. And he built a vineyard. Then what happened? Then he became drunk. And took off all his clothes and lay naked in the tent. He never did that in all the 600 years before that. He never did that when people were opposing him and persecuting him for 120 years when he preached in the wilderness. See what comfort and ease and the blessing of God does to a man if he doesn't fall on his face before God and say, Lord, I'm just dust and ashes. You blessed me, but I'm nobody. I'm nothing. These are warnings, the things written in Scripture are for us, brothers. As long as you're opposed and persecuted and you're struggling, think how hard Noah would have worked in those days, getting up early in the morning and working till late at night, building the ark and preaching, going out preaching and opposed by everybody. He never got drunk in those days. But now nobody's opposing him. He's popular, he's famous, the whole world is his. And God has blessed him and rewarded him in so many ways and made a covenant with him with a rainbow. He was a great man of God. That's when he fell. These things are written for our instruction. That can happen again. And what is the result? It ends up in one of his grandchildren being cursed because Ham, his son, came and saw his nakedness, verse 22, and reported it. And when Noah woke, verse 24, he said, Ham's son was Canaan. Verse 25, cursed be Canaan. A servant of servants shall he be to his brothers. And that's how the Canaanites got cursed. And those are the people whom Israel drove out of the land of Canaan. That's here. It begins here. A curse that came upon them. Because Ham had now come out. Till then he was faithful. He helped in building the ark. He helped in building the ark. And now see what's happened to him and his children. Yeah, that can happen. When ease and comfort come in, our children can go astray. Unless there are strict fathers who keep correcting them even after they have grown up and got married. You don't have to control your married children. But if you're a father, you still got to warn them when there's a danger. I keep doing that. My children are all married. But it doesn't mean I give up my right as a father. I don't interfere in their life at all. But if I see them going astray, I don't care. I will tell them the truth. Not after they've gone completely astray, but I see a drift 1 degree off the straight path. That's when I warn them. I hope you do. Love the Lord more than you love your children if you want to be a disciple. Maybe you started out like that. Are you still like that? Let me give you another example. We read in 2 Samuel and chapter 11, there was a particular season in the year when war used to take place. It was probably the summertime. Winter is difficult to go and fight battles. So this is the springtime. Chapter 11, verse 1. The land was getting warmer. That's the time when kings go out to battle. It's consistent in that area of the world. And David, who was always the leader in the battle, you know, those days the kings would lead the army in battle. It was like that. And this time David decided, I'm senior. I'm 50 years old. I don't have to go to battle now. He was still healthy and strong. But he said, hey, I've got servants and Joab, and so you go and fight. I'm not coming this time. And David stayed at Jerusalem. One fatal mistake. He did not go to war. He sent other people to war. You go and pray. I've got other things to do right now. You fight the battle. I got other things. I got to watch some movies today. And when evening came, David arose from his bed. He was even sleeping in the afternoon, as if the night sleep was not enough. He rose from his bed and no time to pray and all. Like the olden days, he used to be in the fields, poor boy, looking after sheep. He would write psalms. There were days when he was running from cave to cave to cave. You know that it says in the Psalms that this was written when David was running from this person to that person in some cave, or when the Philistine king were trying to kill him. Those psalms were written when he was running for his life, when he was being chased to death. He wrote psalms. He was in touch with God, inspired by the Holy Spirit. Now he was not writing psalms. Now he had no time even to pray. Just, I'm a big king. I've got a palace here. I've got made a lot of money. I got rid of Saul and I'm the king. Everybody here respects me. As a man of God, I killed Goliath. He gets up from his bed and walks around the house. And you can be pretty sure God was not with him there. And he saw a woman bathing in the next compound. That was foolish of that woman to bathe in a way that other people would see her. You know, all these women nowadays who don't dress properly, exposing parts of their body, are following Bathsheba. You can blame David, sure, for falling. But what about Bathsheba, who's exposing herself? What about the girls who expose themselves today? You think they're not guilty? Sure they are. And of course, God was not with David. He just saw this woman and he kept on looking, kept on looking. She's very beautiful. And he finds out who it is. He's somebody else's wife. And David says, oh, it doesn't matter. I'm a king. Go and bring her here. And he sleeps with her and she conceives, verse 5. Now what to do? This is the great man of God who was once called the man after God's own heart, who wrote psalms when he was in poverty and struggling. But now he's rich and he has plenty. Now what to do? Okay. Let's put the blame on the wife. He blame on the husband. He calls his husband, has gone to war. Can you imagine the shamefulness of this? Someone is fighting a battle for your kingdom and you go and sleep with his wife. Anyway, let's put the blame on him. Call him back from war and tell him to go and sleep with his wife tonight, so at least the blame will be on him for the child. David said, go to Uriah, go wash your feet and go to your house. But Uriah did not go to his house and slept at the door. He was more faithful. He knew God more than his master David. Verse 9, he just slept at the door of the king's house. And they said Uriah didn't go down. And Uriah, look at Uriah saying, Lord, my fellow soldiers are all fighting, verse 11, in the field. How can I go and sleep with my wife when they are fighting in the field? I will not do it. So David didn't know what to do. He still is not convicted. And so the next day he sends a message to the general. make sure that Uriah is put in a very dangerous spot in the war. And when the people are attacking, all of you withdraw and leave Uriah there alone. Verse 15. So that he will be killed. And so, Joab did that in verse 17. Uriah died. And Joab sent people to David. And you know, it says, we had to run away. We were defeated by the enemy. And when the king asks you, verse 20, why did you go so near to the city to the fight? Don't you know they'll shoot from the wall? Then just tell him one word. Verse 21, last part. Uriah also has died. And David said, they told him, Uriah is dead, verse 24. Then David said, it's okay, don't worry, verse 25. You know, the sword kills one person and that person. So long as Uriah is dead, it's okay. Can you imagine a man of God descending to this level?